My name's Scott Ballard. I'm a herpetologist with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. I did my master's thesis down here.
The here that Ballard is referring to is the LaRue Pine Hills Natural Research Area, a very special place for nature lovers like myself. And this past Saturday, I joined a group of about 30 others to walk the road and learn about this special place.
The LaRue Pine Hills Research Natural Area is very unique in that it's the most herpetologically diverse area in the state of Illinois. We have about 100 species of amphibians and reptiles in the state, 56 of which have been recorded here. This is only about a 2,000-acre area, so that's pretty neat. And the reason it's so diverse is because we have a lot of northern species that reach the southern edge of their range here in the Shawnee Hills. We have a bunch of southern species that reach the northern edge of the range in the LaRue Swamp. And right between those two herpetofaunal divisions, we have Forest Road 345, which is Snake Road. Okay, so we have a lot of northern species and a lot of southern species meeting here. So it is a very unique area.
And right about now, as we were gathering around the parking area near Winter's Pond listening to his introductory remarks, the group started getting a bit antsy to go hiking. Especially this one guy in flannel and carrying a big black audio bag with a big microphone. I was excited to go exploring, and I didn't care how much I had to walk.
We can walk the whole road and come back if you want. The road's 2.5 miles long, so that means you're going to be walking 5 miles. So if you walk all the way down to the south gate, then you decide you're too tired.
You're bad.
Unless you've got a Star Trek transporter or something, I don't know how you're going to get back here, because I'm not going to be able to carry you. And the road's restricted to foot traffic only, so we don't have any little red wagons we can pull you back in. So
you won't see any picnic tables, swing sets, or even trash cans on Snake Road. Since this is a designated research natural area, there are some special rules intended to keep it pristine, just like nature intended.
There are regs down here. Number one, we do have a regulation about replacing cover to as near as its original location as you can. So if you turn something to look for an animal, make sure you put it back. If you don't, it's a $500 to $700 ticket. Okay, we're very serious about that, because there's a lot of moist microhabitat that occurs under these logs and rocks. And if you see holes, that's because there's salamanders or something burrowing in. If you leave that uncovered, the whole thing dries out and the specimen ends up desiccating. Okay, so put it back. Number two, in order to have any collecting equipment down here or handling anything, a person, including myself, has to have a research natural area special use permit. So everyone here is, we're legal to pick stuff up and examine it. Common sense, of course, don't pick anything up that's venomous, okay, for about 15 minutes. So as we find stuff, I want everybody to get a chance to see it if they want, but then we put it right back where it's at.
The weather was not the best for cold-blooded animals like snakes, but Linda Hauser with the United States Forest Service pointed out it was still a good time to be out at this rich site.
Thank you all for coming today, and I appreciate Scott taking some time out of his week to share his knowledge with us about Snake Road. It's a great place to hike really any season. Obviously a little sunnier day would have been nice, but it still will be a nice day to be out here for the color change.
So keep your eyes peeled for any little thing moving, hopping, crawling.
Yeah, beautiful.
This is a cricket frog. They're one of the most common frog species down here. And this one actually is a young one. They get about twice that size. And you hear them calling about May, early June. It sounds like two marbles clicking together. This is a green tree frog, probably this year's metamorph. Metamorph means it transformed this year from a tadpole. And so this is one of those what we call Austro-Riparian or Gulf Coastal species that are very common throughout western Kentucky, western Tennessee, Arkansas, the Gulf Coastal Plain, but reach the northern edge of the range right here.
We still haven't seen any cottonmouth water moccasins, but I asked Scott about these snakes.
So cottonmouths are the same way. Cottonmouths only occur in deep southern Illinois, whereas they're a lot more common the farther south in the Gulf Coastal Plain you go.
Oh, hey, Scott, we've got a salamander back here, Scott.
It's the juvenile phase of the central newt.
Oh, wow.
But again, they do have warning coloration. So if a bird or something were to peck at that, it'd roll over on its back and expose the big orange underbelly. Oh. And it's kind of letting that bird know I'm toxic. It is toxic. So if an animal were to eat that, it would release tetrodotoxin, and the animal would then regurgitate it, and then he'd just continue to walk on his way looking for insects. Yep, adults get about 3 inches, except the adults become aquatic, so you have a very developed tail fin. And notice right now he's curling his tail because he'll expose that orange. In the Appalachians, this is replaced by the eastern newt, and they're not a rusty orange like this. They're a bright tangerine orange. So, I mean, they're really, really, really advertising that warning coloration.
And at the end of the hike, we didn't see any snakes that day on the road because it was too cold for them. But we still enjoyed seeing the frogs and the salamanders in the limestone cliffs. And by the way, though, after the hike was done, we did get to see two gorgeous snakes. A beautiful, huge timber rattlesnake and a beautiful bronze-colored copperhead. Now, these snakes we didn't see on the hike, as I said, these snakes are the property of IDNR. The rattlesnake was confiscated from somebody who had taken it illegally several years ago, and the copperhead was rescued after a homeowner called it in as a nuisance. Ballard keeps these snakes with him on these hikes to use as educational tools. And you can see photographs of these snakes along with this article on the WSIU website. And many thanks to the work of herpetologist Scott Ballard. Thanks to him, this road will continue to be closed twice a year.
With the data I collected, we actually got the road closed with the Forest Service's cooperation from 3 weeks each spring and fall to 2 full months each spring and fall.
And that's so the reptiles and the amphibians can safely move from the food-rich swamps and lowlands to the rocks and crevices of the cliffs to spend the winter, just like they've been doing for thousands of years. I'd like to give a special thanks to WSIU Radio student reporter Alex Kierstad for his help in some of the writing and the editing of this piece. For WSIU Radio, I'm Kevin Boucher.
Is he with your group?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's here with us.
He's somewhere.
Text him to come on out with that. I'd like to show everyone that.
Wow, so pretty.
Yeah.
So he's not too far.
And even later, as the leaves change.